This podcast is supported by members of my Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/JoannaVT and get early access to commercial-free episodes of Apocalypse Now for $5 a month. These commercial-free episodes have extended interviews, and I drop bonus content monthly. Learn more at patreon.com/JoannaVT. That's patreon.com/JoannaVT. Thanks. Skillshare wants to inspire and encourage creative exploration. That's why Skillshare has built itself into a thriving online learning community with thousands of classes for creative and curious people. Class topics explore illustration, design, photography, and so much more. On Skillshare, millions of members come together to find inspiration and take the next step in their creative journey. And right now, you can get 14 days of Skillshare Premium absolutely free when you go to skillshare.eqcm.net/apocalypsepodcast. Skillshare empowers its members to get inspired by learning new skills and making discoveries. Discover something new at Skillshare by going to skillshare.eqcm.net/apocalypsepodcast. Get access to Skillshare Premium for free for 14 days. Skillshare. Discover something new. With the inauguration less than a week away, Americans everywhere are wondering if this will be the return to some sense of normalcy or just the beginning of our great experiments.
Apocalypse Now?
What's up with you, Apocalypse crew? Bracing yourselves for a civil war? Samesies! Hi, I'm Joanna Van Thine, actor, comedian, podcaster, and filmmaker. You can join me on Patreon at patreon.com/JoannaVT. Send me a tip on Venmo, please, at J-O Pincushion. Or you can buy me a cup of coffee at ko-fi.com/JoannaVT. Follow me on Instagram at J-O Pincushion, too, for the latest updates. And you can also find your next favorite podcast on the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com, sign up for our email list, get the latest episodes directly in your inbox. That link is in our show notes. And we also have a Discord, and you can join our Discord server when you click the link in our show notes. The network also has a Twitch channel. Make sure you follow it at Apocalypse Podcast Network. We're working on starting to test some live broadcasts in the next few weeks. And this week's question for the voicemail number, what would you like Joe Biden to do as soon as he gets in office? Would you want the Biden administration to check off their list? Impeach Trump? More checks? Let me know. 920-474-6763. Man, January. It should be called January. January has felt like an entire year already, and we're not even done the month yet. This election has lasted a lifetime, and even when we're days away from inauguration, all of us are still unsure of what the future holds for this country. And deep down, I am optimistic that the great experiment will continue, but damn, we are running dangerously close to hostile territory. It's frustrating not being able to plan your future. And a lot of people are feeling that because we have no idea what the future holds. And all the messages that we're receiving from everywhere is just telling us to be afraid. And it's exhausting. There's one thing I do know. And it's that Lady Gaga is singing the national anthem on Inauguration Day, and we must protect her at all costs. Anyway, this week, I talk with another fabulous member of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Mijan Zulu from the Whispering Hunties podcast is amazing, and I'm so happy that I met him while in lockdown. Whispering Hunties is a podcast about RuPaul's Drag Race, but it has also become a show that discusses gay culture and important issues in the LGBTQ+ community. And I am really proud of how far this podcast has come. I mean, I helped Mijan and Nick with some coaching sessions back in the spring, and now Whispering Hunties sounds amazing. If you like RuPaul's Drag Race, I highly recommend it. You can even listen to it if you're not familiar with the show. I don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race, but I still listen. And Mijan's editing is a work of art. I don't know any other podcasts that do this like he does, but Mijan adds sound effects and crowd reactions, and it sounds like you're watching a reality show. I don't know how else to explain it, but I think Mijan has invented a podcast genre in itself. And I talked to Mijan right before Christmas. And in this conversation, we talk about the queer community and how they're always facing an apocalypse. And we dive into how podcasting has helped Mijan and the Whispering Hunties listeners find some community while in lockdown. So check out my conversation with Mijan Zulu.
You learn something new every day.
So you're an audio snob now? You can't handle bad audio?
I cannot handle bad audio anymore. And I guess it's like because I'm a singer. It's not just that I'm an audio snob. It's also that like my ears are really sensitive. So I can hear if the mic is really popping. I like a really warm, rich voice. I also like a couple funny things to have, you know, just,
yeah.
I like to keep it moving during the podcast. So if there's like a lull or a pause, like I think I'm a lot more sensitive to like the music of audio now that I've been getting into podcasting. And I want that like, you know, like the daily where he's like, today on the daily, we're going to be talking about drag queens and how drag queens, you know.
That's so perfect.
I love that. And that's what I try to do it every now and then, but then I get excited and then my voice just like goes crazy.
Oh no, it's fine. But yeah, once you start really working on podcast audio consistently, like you'll notice things, even when watching TV, it'd be like, or watching a movie and being like, they recorded this dialogue after they filmed this. Like you'll start to notice everything.
Yeah. And then you're like, I don't know about that. That scene was really awkward. Like I couldn't. Oh, and you know, also that. And like, I think also because I watch reality TV now so much, I can always tell like the quality of the miking.
Yeah.
And that really bugs me.
And you can also tell when they're editing phrases together to create sentences, which is something that there's an actual term. I think it's called like Franken-clipping. But that's where they like take people's audio and they just construct statements and like their confessions and stuff. So other confessionals and stuff. So that's reality TV is not real, everybody. But
it is not.
It's not real. But you've been a fan of Drag Race. How long have you been watching it since the beginning? Or
I have been watching Drag Race since the very beginning. It came out in 2009. I was going through some life changes. Leaving college, and it came out of nowhere, seemingly.
Yeah.
But I mean, Drag Race really happened, I think, because Obama happened, actually.
Yeah.
So I mean, and RuPaul will talk about this, but basically during the Bush era, you know, it was very conservatism had really risen. Mm-hmm. So there really wasn't the same sort of open-minded space for things in the same way that there was in terms of media. And so RuPaul basically went into hiding and like did a hiatus. And if you really focus on RuPaul's career, it is that there's kind of like that lull during the George Bush era. You know, like RuPaul was big in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then in the 2000s, RuPaul just kind of disappears.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, RuPaul's been around forever. And then I feel like Drag Race just brought her into like ultra mainstream. She was always around, but this is definitely, and I think this show has changed drag in itself.
Yeah, it totally has. And so in 2009, with Obama coming into power and there being this new kind of space for progressivism, RuPaul went and did this, you know, TV show, and it started out as a mix of Project Runway and America's Next Top Model. So there's a modeling element to the drag, but then there's also a little bit of creativity because they're making some of their own costumes.
Yeah.
And then there's like a kind of like, it's actually loosely based on RuPaul's TV show / RuPaul's career. So a lot of the sketches that they do as challenges are like kind of modeled off of what Michelle Visage and RuPaul used to do for RuPaul's talk show, which used to be on VH1.
Right. Yeah. And it's definitely was influenced by, you said it, Make It Work, Runway. What was that show called?
Project Runway.
Project Runway, Top Model. Yeah. I mm-hmm. love those competition formats, mm-hmm. but it also, the show has also morphed into more of a cultural commentary.
Yeah. So I kind of think of the show as like a metaphor for like healing a lot of the wounds that we've gone through in terms of heteronormativity, like people being queer. Like it really is a show that deals with that community in a very specific way. Mm-hmm. And someone's actually this drag queen that I love from Ireland said, you know, everyone knows someone who's gay. Like there's like the town gay or your uncle gay or that person in college, blah, blah, blah. And it becomes really hard to hate people when you know someone. So because you get to watch these queens and you get to learn about who they are outside of drag and then learn about them in drag, you fall in love with them. It creates a space for us to deal with some of the intolerance that exists in the world.
Yeah.
And what's so exciting now about the show is not only has it taken drag into a whole new space, but as these shows become homegrown in other countries, those countries can really talk about some of the things that those people, that queer people are still facing in that country. And then it becomes harder to have those feelings because the show is reflecting what's going on right back at you. Mm-hmm. So like violence in the queer community or intolerant parents. And then the parents are given that chance to say, am I going to support my child as they become famous on this TV show, or am I going to continue to shun them? So I think that there's a certain healing element to the show through the storytelling mm-hmm. and through that like reality version.
Absolutely.
But then at the same time, there's this normalization of queer people in the media. And you see that with people saying like, oh, you're throwing shade or like, blah, blah, blah. Like so much slang now.
Oh yeah. Like, spilling the tea. Right, I always say.
Yeah. Spilling the tea, right? Like we're spilling the tea right now on, you know, Drag Race's counterculture agenda.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that Drag Race did that is being really talked about now is representation. It really helped to present the drag community and the gay community to the general public and show them that you're absolutely right, that everyone knows someone, everyone loves someone that's gay. And mm-hmm. seeing it on television weekly, like, I think it is a way for us to help identify it. And I know people that may not be introduced to anyone gay, sometimes they're a little nervous about it, but maybe if they watch Drag Race, they'll feel more comfortable with seeing it and not be so judgmental or have so many questions about it.
Yeah. Because before, I'm not saying that Drag Race is like the only thing putting queer things out there into the world. But I do think that, you know, sometimes you'd have gay people in the media who are gay, but it wasn't like the main thing. Like it would never be addressed. Like Tim Gunn's sexuality was never, you know, it's never the main part about Project Runway. But at the same time, it's there, right? So you mm-hmm. see him, but you don't get to engage with that. RuPaul's Drag Race puts that front and center. And what's also really cool is that drag queens were kind of like this kind of like loved and shunned part of the community. So they were both leaders and, you know, people love to go watch them and be entertained with them. But then there's in America, at least, I don't know. And I think this is pretty true internationally, but, you know, I might be wrong and mm-hmm. don't come for me on the social media or whatever. but to a certain degree, because they were playing around with the feminine.
Yeah.
Some gay guys, because they're so used to self-hating themselves for not being masculine enough, wouldn't actually want to date a drag queen because they're too effeminate or they're associating themselves too much with something that's feminine. Mm-hmm. But because they're now celebrities, now drag queens are becoming cooler and cooler. So it's also healing that wound for the drag queens. Now the drag queens are like sexy and we're like, ooh.
Yeah, and I think with this kind of show, it does show that drag is a performance and a commentary on femininity. And that's a big part of it. I really remember in early 2000s, I would go to bars where there were drag performers and it wasn't as elaborate as it is now. The makeup isn't as on point. It wasn't as on point as it is now. Like this show stepped up drag for everyone, no matter if you're a celebrity or if you're just starting out performing in bars. It's really done wonders for, I love that it's helping the community and the art form, but, and I haven't watched Drag Race. I do understand the cultural significance of it. I would also say Drag Race and Lady Gaga actually helped to usher in this new wonderful gay era of America that we're in.
That's true. And you know what? The funny thing about Lady Gaga is that Lady Gaga was really trying to push it hard when she first
came out. Yeah.
Like from the very start, Lady Gaga was kind of like kind of in on the joke. She's like, I kind of am a drag queen, but like, let's not get into that. And I remember watching a really early, you know, she just already hit it big with that first album, like, you know, with the telephone and blah, blah, blah. And she had this at her, maybe it's when she released Born This Way. And she had this like, it was a live concert. And she probably was like, she was doing kind of like Madonna moment where she's at the concert and then she's like talking. And then her dancers are doing like, you know, individual dances and she's introducing them to the audience. And then, you know, she says, it doesn't matter who you are as long as you're born this way. Like, oh,
love that song.
So she was like being like, look, if you come to a Lady Gaga concert, this is an accepting space. And then people started hating on her because she was just too popular. And then, you know, she had to run away.
Well, she went, she got her Tony, her Grammy, and her Golden Globe. So,
well, like a drag queen, she was just like, to hell with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing what I do. And when y'all decide to recognize, I'll still be here. But I didn't go anywhere, you know?
Yeah, she's never, people are like, oh, with her new album, they're like, oh, she's coming back. I was like, she never went anywhere. She's just never.
And also, like, people say, like, now when we listen back to tracks from pop art, they're like, actually, it's not that bad of an album. And I'm like,
yes, she was before her time. That album did not do as well as it should have. And art pop is definitely a commentary on where the industry is now, I think. It was a little ahead of her time, but the fame was great. I could talk about Lady Gaga forever. But
I mean, me too.
On this show, we talk about the apocalypse, and you're such a big fan of Drag Race, and you're really passionate about how it has changed the community. Do you feel like the LGBTQ community is on the other side of an apocalypse, in the midst of an apocalypse, trying to go from one phase of their history into another phase of history?
I think that in some ways, the LGBTQ community is always in the middle of an apocalypse.
Yeah.
Someone's always trying to take us down. And sometimes their agendas are more subtle than what they, sometimes the agendas are like kind of like a sneak attack. And I do think that we kind of are getting into a place, thankfully, where, you know, at least in America, depending on where you live, we are kind of at the other side of an apocalypse. But then at the same time that that's going on, there are very real and dangerous things going on in terms of misinformation. And then also like speaking in code that are like direct attacks on that community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it kind of just happens and no one talks about it because it's not explicit. And this is kind of like where, I mean, we see it nowadays in like politics. That sounds like so wide that let me be more specific. So misinformation, right? You put out something that is spun a certain way because it sounds good that way. But it may not be true, and it may ignore some of the facts, or it may ignore whole bits of reality, right? But it sounds fine on paper, right?
Yeah.
And I want to, here's an example. So in the Republican Party's platform on marriage, what was it? The categorization is even different. So on marriage, family, and society. So this is their platform on marriage, family, and society. So it says, foremost amongst those institutions is the American family. It is the foundation of civil society, and the cornerstone of family is natural marriage and the union of one man and one woman. Its daily lessons, blah, 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 blah. Strong families depending on God and one another advance the cause of liberty by lessening the need for blah, 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 blah. Now, what they're doing there is they're saying, is they're not actually talking about LGBTQ people. Mm-hmm. If you go through their platform, which was made in 2000, 16, and they didn't change it in 2020.
Oh, they didn't. They didn't update it at all.
They didn't. This is just like, it's still good.
Yeah.
They don't mention LGBTQ plus people as if they don't exist.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
So we're erased, right? So they're putting out this thing, which sounds quite nice. Like, I mean, I think it's great that a society needs a foundation, and that like a couple, that like the love of a couple is great for a society, or like finding family, love is good for everyone.
A family unit is very strong and it's very important in everyone's life. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, but what's erased there is the idea of a non-traditional family, right? You know, like people live in blended families. Sometimes you don't have a parent. Like, basically what they're saying is like, if you're a single parent, you're somehow like not working for the betterment of America.
It like delegitimizes anything that's not a heteronormative marriage.
Yeah. And this is what I mean in terms of like the queer community is always under attack, whether or not we know it. So when this is your platform and you're not even mentioned as something that exists, you know, you really...
And yet they still campaign for the LGBTQ wallet. I saw them campaigning for...
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, saying, oh, we did so much for the community, all of the LGBTQ...
Oh my God, there are just so many things that are wrong with that.
Yeah.
And I thank you for saying that. But I want to use this as an example of saying that like the way that people use language to either include or exclude things that are very specific really shows you where they stand. And it's really painful to see that this is going on in a national platform for a party that gets 70 million votes. And if you contrast that with the Democratic Party in a similar section, it's completely different. It isn't talking about marriage, family, and society. In the Democratic platform, they say protecting LGBTQ plus rights. That's the name of the section. Mm-hmm. That's just it. And then they go into detail about what they think should happen there. Oh, and also in the section that I was talking about before, they start talking about family, and then without mentioning that they are against marriage equality, they say in the Republican platform, for that reason, as explained elsewhere in this platform, we do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal, whether through judicial reconsideration or a constitutional amendment returning control over marriage to the states. So basically, they'll refer to Obergefell, which is the case that brought marriage equality to the United States. And they're putting in their platform that they're against the decision. They won't say what the decision is about, but they're against the decision. So in a certain way, to grow up as a queer person in the United States is to feel like you're in an apocalypse that's against you.
Yes.
It's like yourself. You're always under attack. And there's that beautiful poem where like they came for blah, blah, blah. They came for the blacks. They came for the Jews. They came for that. And then at the end of they came for me and there was no one else that could stand for me. And I think about that when there's like weird transgender legislation or declarations popping out. Cause I'm like, first you get rid of inclusive policies for trans people. And then who's next? But I do have to say that things like RuPaul's Drag Race have the potential to do some of the good work,
Absolutely. To
heal some of those wounds, to expose people that may not have been exposed to that. So I think that RuPaul's Drag Race is really doing some of the good work, some of the healing that needs to happen. But I think that because it's such a powerful platform, it's really just, you know, creating careers and following and giving so many people a voice. I think that's why the queer community has been more critical of it. And it's sort of problematic inclusion of gender nonconforming queens, transgender queens, like I have, or even just bio queens, like have this amazing, it's so funny, I met her at a dance party. And so we're friends, but like, we don't stay in touch, but we've had like epic fun nights together, which makes you feel close to the person.
That's all you need.
Yeah. So my friend, Vicky DeVille, if you look her up on Instagram, DeVille is spelled DeVille, is a bio queen and she's amazing. She kind of, she does a really good like Christina Aguilera impression. And she has, I think it was for a competition. She comes in one Christina outfit and literally rips it off and transforms into a whole nother.
Oh, wonderful.
Like Xtina. It's amazing.
I love the theatrics of any drag performance. Now, for people that don't know, what exactly is a bio queen?
Oh, bio queens are cisgendered women that are drag queens that dress, whose drag is feminine.
That's fun.
Yeah. So that would be different than a drag king, which is where like a cisgendered woman or sometimes like transgendered women or gender nonconforming people are dragging the male gender.
Yeah. Lady Gaga had a drag queen character, Joey.
Drag king, yeah.
I think it's sort of like Joey something, but always smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, and I think it's when she started getting into drag kinging that people were like, oh, you're just too much, Lady Gaga. Yeah. Like, no one wants to listen.
No one wanted to see her drag, but I was all for it. I was like, keep going.
Yeah, and the thing about drag is that it's a, you know, to do drag as a political act, you're really, really just differing yourself from the norm. You're pointing to the way in which, like, the things that are, the way that the world is construct, the way that we construct the world is kind of, like, arbitrary to a certain extent. Because if you do a good drag performance, you're showing that, like, we are the way we are to a certain extent because we believe that this is the way that things are.
Yeah. It's all about confidence. It's about presenting yourself in a certain way. And I also love the way the drag community just overall comments on femininity and, you know, beauty and the concept of beauty and things like that. I think these are all great things that will help anyone get through an emotional apocalypse. So with your podcast, Whispering Hunties, what inspired you, other than being a fan of the show, what made you want to do a show just about Drag Race?
Well, first of all, world domination and narcissism help a lot. I think I'm very funny. I want to be in contact with the world.
No, those are all valid points. That's why I podcast.
Okay, so I've loved podcasts for years. I started Whispering Hunties is actually the name comes from a fan club that was dedicated to a whole nother podcast that's about Real Housewives. From listening to podcasts, I discovered Race Chaser, which is the definitive drag podcast, for in my opinion, with Alaska and Willem.
Oh, fun.
And I was a huge fan, and I was like, you know what? I just really want to do like a Drag Race podcast, but they already do it. I'm like, I don't want to like steal their thunder because I'm like such a fan. And last year, Nick Probst, my podcast host, and I started a podcast about Charmed because I really love 90s and Charmed.
Of course.
And witchcraft. Yeah. And we did it. And then I booked a job and then we got really busy and then it just kind of fizzled out. And then, you know, I was like, I want to bring the podcast back. And I was like, and you know what? I'm tired. I mean, we're living in an apocalyptic era.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I die of COVID, I want to die of COVID having like lived my fantasy and have had like a drag race podcast. Yeah. And
yeah, so like I want to give this show the love it deserves. If I'm going down, I'm going down right.
Yeah. And so like I was literally like, what do I have to lose? Mm-hmm. So then I texted Nick. He's like, yeah, let's bring it back. Let's do this. And so we started off as just a drag race recap podcast, kind of like finding our lane. But then Drag Race started going international. It went to Canada and then Holland. And in exploring drag in other countries, we realized that this is really a queer culture podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is, and you know, also we ended up meeting like not the queens on the show, but queens from like their friends who are also in the scene, and then like party promoters and DJs, and they're like people who are photographers that take photos of drag queens. And we started meeting people from the scene, and we realized that like queer culture in itself is different in every country. And exploring like that and the journeys and the stories there is an important and awesome part of our podcast. And I love that we're working in like queer culture. Yeah. And I think that what podcasting provides people, and it's what talk radio used to provide people, is community. And we lack community so much now.
Yes.
And, you know, queer people, community for a lot of us, not everyone's an out, you know, not everyone's an extrovert and wants to be out in the bars and whatnot. But even if you're not going to like a rave, you might be going to like a drag show or like a bingo night or something like that. But like we get a lot of community from going out and meeting one another because we've lived hidden for so much of our lives. You know, we like being out and about and out and
having fun, partying, dancing. I'm all for that. Yeah. And we can't now.
Yeah. But these podcasts are ways of us, are giving us a sense of the queer community that we don't have and that we can't really have right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's part of, to answer your actual question, which is like, why a Drag Race podcast? But I just think that I'm also so fascinated by the way that this show is able to talk about, like, there was a story of like a gay bashing of a drag queen with a guy that she took home with her. Ugh. You know, so that's violence within the queer community that happened in Canada. They also talked about, like, basically, like, gay people being murdered in the Virgin Islands, like, episode one of Canada.
Well, you talked about that the gay community is always in some kind of apocalypse. And in different countries, I feel like that apocalypse feeling, that apocalypse alertness is, you know, in different degrees in different countries, and having mm-hmm. a place where people can reach out and have a sense of community and learn about the struggle. Because I think there are a lot of gay people in this country who do not realize the struggle that the community went through to mm-hmm. get the acceptance that we have now in this country. Mm-hmm. And the election, I think, definitely exposed some of that, the 2016 election. So it's good to get different perspectives from around the world and to bring this sense of community together. I think you're helping the community with the apocalypse that's always going on with this show.
I hope so. Gee, I mean, you know, because you don't want to, like, put something out into the world that's taking away from it. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I've always been one of those people that says, that believes that if you're putting positive energy in a good way and being really thoughtful about it, you're really helping to do good in the best way that you can. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hope that that's what we're doing. We just did our first Instagram live.
Yes. I was going to ask how it went.
Oh my God. It was actually, I was so nervous. I was like, let's just do like half an hour because, you know, we don't know if anyone's going to show up, like, blah, blah, blah. I was so nervous. And then, you know, but I sent an email out to all of the Apocalypse Now Network people. Shout out to them. They're amazing. And then I emailed all of our guests that have been on the show and said, like, would love if you stopped by. And then it just so happened that today officially announced the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race that will start on the first day of New Year's.
Oh.
But there was a leak last night. So, like, I was like on my Instagram, I saw the leak.
Ooh,
you know, leak in air quotes, intern just happened to blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's such BS. I mean, you don't have a full media rollout 24 hours later.
Yeah, if there's a little leak
the day before. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's not true. But, like, so then, like, one of, like, these Irish podcasters that we had on our show that have literally the same show as us, but in Ireland. Oh, are you guys, like, commenting on what's happening on Twitter with season 13? And I was like, what do you mean? And so I was like, pull up Twitter. And then we were, like, watching the new, like, basically the Meet the Queens happening. And I found out that Tina Burner, who's an amazing New York City drag queen, is finally on Drag Race.
Oh, wonderful. Like, yay!
I was like, it's Tina's day. It's Tina's day. I'm so happy. I'm so sad because I'll never be able to go out to a good drag show ever again because now she's gone. Just kidding. We still have Pixaventura and like, you know,
Bootsy Lo Ferris
and Ruby Roo. I mean, never say never. But, like, you know, once they get on the show, like, you know, they kind of travel a lot.
Yeah.
So you don't get to see them in the same way. But it felt like this community experience because all of our friends that we've been meeting started commenting. And, you know, and it was lovely. I now understand that Instagram Live was made for anyone that loves attention.
Instagram was made for anyone that loves attention. I mean,
no, I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, because I post nothing but like 15-second reels of me doing really dumb stuff on my personal Instagram.
Hey, but that's what works, right?
I know,
that's what we found out.
I'm learning so much from
the
you.
The dumber, the better.
But Instagram Live was amazing. Nick and I had a wonderful kiki. I think it was also nice to, like, put faces to the brand. Like, we're real people. Mm-hmm. And it was everything. So we're going to do it once a week now. And I think we're going to stream it on Twitch.
Oh, yes, we are. We're working on getting that channel, the programming settled. But I think that's going to be a really fun part of all of the podcasts that we're creating, to do these live streams so people can see us. Maybe mm-hmm. feel like a little bit like community again. But I was going to ask, you know, now that the podcast is filling this need to be in contact with one another, mm-hmm. how do you think the bars are going to open up. Do you, the drag shows, the indie drag shows in New York City, when everything goes back to quote unquote normal, like, are you just like, can you just not wait? Do you know what's your predictions for all that? Oh my God.
I mean, when the bars open, I think I'll be drunk for a week straight because I will just be, you know, I'll probably catch the flu, not COVID, because I'll be vaccine up, but. And I think I already had COVID earlier this year, but you know, you can catch it twice.
Yes, so, you can.
Yeah. So when it opens up and we are able to see drag shows, I will be there for sure because there's nothing like a live drag show.
Yes.
Like people think that by watching RuPaul's Drag Race, you're getting the full fantasy experience.
You're not.
That is not it. Here's the thing. Everyone now, for some reason, thinks that like a drag queen is a split, right?
Yeah, you know, or like, death drop.
A death drop, you know, or a dip, as they say in the ballroom community. But like, whatever. Everyone thinks that that's what drag is, and I'm like, please, excuse you. It's a nice to have. It's not a gotta have. Mm-hmm. A drag show is being sat there. It's part comedy. It's part like just. You know, just it's making fun out of nothing, out of the air, and living your best life. And, you know, there's certain things where like, I didn't even know that certain things were gay until I went to a drag show. And so it's like an education in our history. And it's also just a celebration of life. Like I remember, so I will not say the name of this drag queen.
Okay.
But because she was kicked off of the show for doing shady things and getting boys to take inappropriate videos of themselves. But I went to this lunchtime drag show, and all of a sudden they were like at the end of the drag show, they played Joyful Joyful from Sister Act 2.
Wonderful number.
In a club full of gay men who were there. And we all were like, oh my God, Joyful Joyful is number one, the gayest song ever. And this whole like, you know, triple octave, joyful, joyful moment, I was like, this is life. And so now, and it was kind of like, I'd never really heard Joyful, Joyful being played in a club.
Yeah. I was like, in a club, that's a very interesting setting for that song.
I'm telling you, drop that on the dance floor. When I get married, we're going to play some Joyful, Joyful. And I dare anyone to not have the best time. Like, come and join the chorus, the mighty, mighty chorus. You know,
it's just, I'll be singing along. I'll be like, fill us with the light of day. Yeah. I would say Sister Act 2 is better than Sister Act 1.
Oh, I mean, but that is, those two movies will go down as two of the greatest achievements of the modern era.
Because yes.
It's full of joy. I mean, the story was so crazy. They did it twice and they brought it to Broadway. Like this is the gift that keeps on giving. So
it is. It's Whoopi Goldberg at her finest, I would say.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Color Purple too. But,
oh, of course.
But a real live drag show is so amazing. And that's why, you know, you can really take drag anywhere and then it just is whatever it is. And it harkens back to why cabarets used to be so popular.
Yes.
Cause really what it is, it's like an impromptu cabaret performance. Mm-hmm. And it's never impromptu because they always know their lyrics and they're always doing social commentary. And that is really the most entertaining thing. Like I'm more excited after Drag Race to go see those queens live. I mean, it is such a wonderful way to spend a couple hours, tip a bartender, support a local business, and a young or old seasoned artist.
And be in the community that you love so much. And it's really, I'm glad that you pointed the difference between the show and experiencing the drag show. Because I feel like younger viewers think that the drag race is just, that's drag. That's what it
always
is.
The makeup tutorials. Like, oh my God. Like, look. Honestly,
can I say this with one second? Girls that watch, I buy Trixie Mattel's makeup. I think mm-hmm. she makes wonderful makeup, but they cake on so much of their face because they have to cover pores. Girls, you don't need to put that much foundation on your face.
No,
it's too much.
And, And I'll have you know that I'll put on a little foundation myself sometimes, depending on what the gig is. And
you always have to, I see them put layers and layers of stuff.
Here's the thing. I mean, makeup's great, but when yes, sometimes you do need to reconstruct a face depending on what type of look you're going for.
Yeah, yeah.
But all it should really do is to just kind of smoothen your skin out, mm-hmm. right? So that the scars or whatever aren't as like apparent. And then it should accentuate your best features.
Yes.
And when you look in the mirror, you should feel like $1 million. Now, if you need a second layer or three layers of skin on top of the one that you already have,
yeah,
live your best life.
Yeah, I would say you need to work on your skincare routine.
Yes, first. I agree. And get some sleep and drink water.
Yes.
But honestly, like, less is more. Less is more. Let your inner beauty shine.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, this I haven't been to a drag show in New York City yet. So when they're back, I'm definitely going to hit you up and
it's going to go down. I will come with like $50 in $1 bills, because you know what? If you go to a drag show and you think that you're just going to tip once,
to have a bunch of money with you.
And don't give them coins, because that's rude.
Yeah, that is rude.
And if you really, but sorry. the funniest thing is that if you really want something to happen at a drag show, pull out a 20.
Or like a
$50 bill. You give a $50 bill, they will get like, you know, like at the end of the show and they're like, okay, we're done for the night. And you're like, no, we want one more. You pull out that 20, you give it to them and see
you'll
what
get
they
your
do.
Splits and your death drops. Oh, I'm so excited. And I'm feeling, you know, more optimistic these days. I think the next few months is just going to be a little bit more of, you know, hunkering down, you know, build that community online with your podcast. But as soon as the weather gets warmer, I think we'll all be doing death drops at drag brunch.
Yeah. And drag is everywhere now. There are drag queen politicians.
Yeah.
Mardi Gold Cummings and maybe a girl in L.A., was like, she ran against Adam Schiff and was third place.
Wow.
In the 2020 election.
I love it. Oh, we need more fabulous confidence in our politics. Well, yeah. Before we go, where can people find, other than ApocalypsePodcastNetwork.com, where can they find the Whispering Hunties?
The Hunties That Whisper can be found anywhere and everywhere that you're possibly looking for us. So I don't know how you haven't found us before, but we are on Facebook, Instagram. We have a Gmail.
Ooh.
We are also on Reddit, and we'll be joining other platforms that we discussed earlier. That is just Whispering Hunties. Hunties is spelled H-U-N-T-Y. On Twitter, because of a character limit, we are Hunty Whispering. We are on literally every single podcast platform that I've been able to get us on. I think we're on Amazon as well now too.
Yes.
And I think so. On iHeartRadio, and
you can tell your
Google.
Smart speakers to play the latest episode.
I mean, you can even get us on Pandora.
Ooh,
okay,
people still use Pandora.
I mean, I don't know who they are, but like, you can find us there. So give us a listen, yo. It's important. And if you want to laugh, I'm just saying, check out Major Zoo, MAJORZU. My reels are viral content.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, due to Hugo Chavez and the military and the Blue Moon and the 5G network, for some reason, my millions of views are not like being posted on Instagram.
They're not registering.
They're not registering. Mm-hmm. And every time that I hit a million, it just goes right back down to 1,000. But I'm telling you, I'm going to figure out how to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
And then you will see it go viral.
Yeah. And we will absolutely have all of the links at joannavanthine.com. So and in these show notes, you could find them. I love talking to you. I love that I've met you. And your podcast has grown so much. And it sounds better and better every week. And I'm so proud.
Thank you for your leadership and your generosity of spirit. And also for your community building,
because
I don't know if y'all know that listen to this podcast, but this woman has been creating a community that supports each other, that learns from one another, and that is really helping a lot of people who are creative to find a release in a time that has been very dark. So as our light bringer, I thank you, applaud you, and I'm so grateful that like Nick was like, hey, so my friend is like starting a podcast. Nick, and I was like, who's your friend? Like, what is she legit?
Who
like,
is
what
this is person? This?
Like, what is she gonna take advantage of us? And then now I'm like, oh my God, I love this woman. She's amazing. Thank God.
You're gonna make me cry. Oh, it's why I do it. It's a really shitty time, and I just want to be able to help everybody, you know, gain ownership of their creativity and use it to promote themselves. Cause screw Mark Zuckerberg and all of those big studio places. Independent art is where it's at. Well, thank you so much. Definitely going to have you back, and I can't wait to hear more episodes of Whispering Hunties.
Oh my God, yes. And please keep your podcast is life. I've been all over it this week, and I've learned more about being a man, and
yes, we're teaching all the different stuff. We're trying. Well, I think the apocalypse for the gay community will always be there, but with shows like Whispering Hunties and communities like Whispering Hunties, you can all come together and get through it, okay?
Audible is the leading provider in spoken word entertainment, and we're not just talking audiobooks by bestsellers. They also have podcasts, guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, A-list comedy, and exclusive Audible originals you won't find anywhere else. And now you can get a 30-day free trial when you go to audibletrial.com/apocalypsepodcast. So what do you get with an Audible membership? Well, every month, Audible members get one credit to pick any title plus two Audible originals from a monthly selection. We're talking thousands of titles to choose from. I have an entire audio library of witchcraft books. I love getting to pick a new book every month. I do a lot of my Audible binging while I walk my dog, while I cook, or when I'm stress cleaning. And Audible makes listening to audiobooks easy. You can download titles and listen offline anytime, anywhere. The app is free. You can listen across multiple devices and never lose your spot. And if you can't decide what to listen to one month, don't worry. Your credits stay for an entire year, so you can save up your credits and download a whole book series when you're ready. So head over to audibletrial.com/apocalypsepodcast for your free 30-day trial of Audible, and you won't regret it. Are you thinking about starting a podcast? You're going to need podcast hosting, like a website. Your episodes need to be hosted somewhere so they can be distributed onto your favorite podcast platforms. So why pay for hosting when you can use free sites like Anchor? Well, Blueberry has lots of great features. You get unlimited downloads on your content. Your content is optimized for Apple and every other podcasting platform. Blueberry validates all of your media to make sure your episodes will play on all of the podcast platforms you want. And you get premium podcast statistics, which is really a $5 a month value, absolutely free. And what I like most about Blueberry hosting is the free technical support by email, phone, or Zoom. That's right. They'll set aside time to talk to you face to face if you have any problems with your show. And now you can get your first month of hosting for free when you use the code ApocalypsePodcast at checkout. That's four episodes if you plan on creating a weekly podcast. Blueberry hosting members get a customizable audio player, your own podcast webpage at blueberry.com, and it even supports scheduling your episodes. If you opt for a WordPress site with your hosting, you have complete control of your content and you own it. You can upload your episodes directly from your WordPress site. You can take advantage of SEO on your website. Your RSS feed belongs to that website, and all of your podcast links point directly back to your website. And not to mention that you can take advantage of all of those WordPress plugins that the platform has to offer. Now start podcasting the right way with Blueberry. Go to blueberry.com. That's blueberry.com and use the code APOCALYPSEPODCAST at checkout to get your first month absolutely free. Thank you for building a community during a scary time, Mijan. Learn more about Mijan at mijanzulu.com. Follow Whispering Hunties on Twitter at Hunty Whispering.
Follow Whispering Hunties on Instagram at Whispering Hunties, and you can follow Mijan on Instagram at Major Zoo. Thank you if you've supported me on Patreon. I'm so excited that I finally launched this profile. Every 2020 episode has a commercial-free counterpart with longer interviews that you didn't hear last year. And when you join the Patreon as a podcast producer, you get to hear these commercial-free extended interviews. And the episode with Chloe Koser, we talk about gender and comedy and how to navigate this changing landscape while respecting one another. And she wrote a list of suggestions for directors and coaches back in 2019 that got some heat on Twitter. And we talk about it in that extended interview. And it's really long and it's a really great conversation. So you can only hear that on Patreon. So head over to Patreon if you want to hear that conversation. Patreon.com/JoannaVT. Become a podcast producer and get more of this show. I have a special offer going on until February 8th. When you sign up for the film producer tier or above, you get an autographed Mezzamorta postcard with a personal note from me. Hurry. Like I said, this offer ends February 8th. So supporting me on Patreon helps make this show possible. So thank you to all of my patrons. Your contribution means a lot to me, and I will never forget your support. You can find me at joannavanthine.com. Follow me on Instagram at jopincushion. Follow the podcast on Twitter at ApocNowPodcast, and follow the Apocalypse Podcast Network on Twitch at Apocalypse Podcast Network. I created a Spotify playlist of music that fits the theme of this show, and you can hear it on my website or click the link in our show notes and go listen to that. And tell me, what do you want the Biden administration to focus on first? Let me know. Give me a call at 920-474-6763. You can also send an email at apocalypsenowpodcast@gmail.com, and I will share your message on the show. And if you like what you heard, please subscribe, leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. Go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com, find your next favorite show, sign up for our newsletter by clicking that link in our show notes, and join our Discord through the link in our show notes. And special thanks to Johnny Grind, who wrote all of the themes that you heard through the episode. You can hear more of his music at thebeautyofgrind.bandcamp.com. And make sure you go to mezzamortawebseries.com to check out the latest news on that project. And I will be here. We'll all be here next time on Apocalypse Now.
Hey there, Robo fans and Dino fans. Do you like science fiction? Do you like movies about robots and dinosaurs? Do you like podcasts that explore sci-fi philosophy through a fun and positive lens? Then you are going to love Robots vs. Dinosaurs. Every week, your host, Louis G, invites a guest onto the show to talk about one of their favorite sci-fi movies. It's a RoboCast. It's a DinoCast. It's a battle for ultimate awesomeness in science fiction pop culture. Subscribe to Robots vs. Dinosaurs on Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes every Friday. Follow us on Instagram at RobosVDinos or Twitter at VersusRobots. That is at VS Robots.
The camera zooms in on me.
So we get some high proof alcohol. We get gasoline. Anything that says
what makes our lives worth living is our mortality. If there were not mortality, we wouldn't be passionate.
Luckily for me, most of the beauty pageants that I've participated in don't.
I've done my fair share of blood, man.
I've always liked showing myself off naked.
Got up out of the seat, walked to me, and then slapped me.
Spontaneous conversation with people from around the world on Stranger Than Christian. Available on your favorite podcast app and at strangerthanchristian.com.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.